Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. How to deal with the attacks of the enemy. I began to lay the foundation last week, sharing with you from Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual forces. Amen. Wicked spiritual forces. Amen. These are forces that hate God and hate God's people. Yeah. In the realm of the spirit, now we can get into a whole teaching on where they come from. But just to summarize, there are fallen angels that followed Lucifer in his rebellion against God. And then there are evil spirits, demon spirits. There's different lines of thoughts where they come from. It's not necessary. The Bible is not actually very clear on where they come from, but the Bible is very clear that they are here. They do exist. So, and God in his infinite wisdom, he didn't share with us a lot about where these evil spirits necessarily originate from. I believe also because he doesn't want us to really focus on that. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. Our focus needs to be on victory. Our focus needs to be on understanding the believer's authority and the finished work of the cross by the blood of Jesus, what has been accomplished. And then the fact that we have authority over these evil spirits, because Jesus said, these signs shall follow in Mark 16, right? Talking about the believer. Those who believe in my name, they shall what? First sign, cast out demons. That means the believer, every believer has authority over evil spirits, foul spirits, unclean spirits. And there are many, many different names for them. And usually these are not titles, but these are functions. Spirit of infirmity, functions to bring infirmity. Spirit of depression, functions to bring a spirit of heaviness or depression. And all these different spirits, we see their descriptions, especially in the New Testament, and we need to know how to deal with them. Because these spirits look for opportunities to attack God's people. Now, you need to understand, of course, that the enemy and these evil spirits have no authority over the believer unless the believer doesn't take authority or doesn't understand their authority or opens a door. That's why last week we talked about the eye gate, the ear gate, okay? Earlier, I talked about the condition of the heart, offense, unforgiveness, judgment. These are very, very huge open doors where evil spirits can come and begin to oppress God's people. And there is absolutely no reason for any Christian to be oppressed by evil spirits. Absolutely no reason. But we have to know how to deal with the attacks of the enemy. Amen. Now, somebody said a long time ago, and I mean, I've seen this to be true in my life, the devil will attack you when you're doing right, and the devil will attack you when you're doing wrong. It doesn't really matter. So there'll always be attacks of the enemy, because the Bible says your enemy, Satan, the devil, the deceiver, the opponent. By the way, the devil is actually not given any names. He's given these sort of titles that are descriptions of what he does. Opposes. He's an opponent. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies and many other things that the Bible talks about. The head of this spiritual world of darkness that opposes God's kingdom. Because there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of darkness ruled by Satan and these fallen angels and these evil spirits or demons or devils, as old King James called them, the devils, daimonion, demons. So these spirits are out there. They go about as a roaring lion seeking whom they may devour. That's why Peter says that we should be sober and vigilant. Amen. Now, what you need to understand is the devil is not a roaring lion. He goes about like trying to make himself, right, appear an angel of light. So he's always trying to put on an act, trying to get people to believe that he has more power than he really has, right? Because the Bible says Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible also says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So we are actually the lions. In the spirit, we are the bold, roaring lions. So what he comes is, he tries to roar and get you to back down. he tries to get you to believe that his roar is stronger than yours. Just like Goliath was every day coming out and yelling and screaming and shouting at an entire army. And I guarantee you, I mean, okay, so he was a big giant. But do you really think one big giant can truly by himself take out 10,000 men? No. But every single one was intimidated and they were divided. They could not unite in faith to go take out Goliath. And then here comes David from the youth group, from Surge Youth, probably about 16, with a simple sling and a stone and takes out Goliath. But how did he take him out? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Basically, he does not have a covenant with God. He doesn't have a covenant of blessing or protection. And he's saying that I'm the one who comes with the covenant. And I'm the one whose enemies, if they come against me, they're going to flee from me in seven ways. I'm the one who's going to have victory. You come against me with your spear and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord my God. So he understood his authority, even as a teenager, and took out this mighty giant and then went after his brothers. Hallelujah. So how do we deal with the attacks of the enemy? I'm going to give you the two important places where authority has to be established. The believer's authority has to be established in two places in your life. Romans chapter 10 verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So in your mouth and in your heart. These are the two places where authority has to be established in your life when you're dealing with the attacks of the enemy. In your mouth and in your heart. It's not enough to just know in your heart, but you also have to speak it. And I'll show you another verse. Go with me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 11. This is the Amplified. It says, and they have overcome or conquered him. And that him is Satan, the enemy. They have overcome and conquered the enemy by the means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. Utterance. There has to be an utterance. Utterance is when you speak. Your testimony, speaking. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing. So, two places. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, the utterance of your mouth. Authority has to be established in both places. Now, let me show you exactly what that means. What do I mean by in your heart? You have to understand. In your heart is where you understand who you are as a new creation. When you are a born again child of God, we say blood bought, blood washed. Right? We see the saints in the book of Revelation, their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, but then white as snow. What does that mean? The blood of Jesus that makes you righteous. When you understand the power in the blood of Jesus, that by the blood of Jesus, by you trusting in the blood of Jesus to forgive you of all your sins, not just your sins are washed away, but the sin nature is also removed. And you are made the righteousness of God in Christ. So the blood of Jesus makes you righteous. That's really pretty much the entire theme of the book of Romans. That the blood of Jesus makes you righteous. Righteousness that comes by faith in the blood of the Lamb. So how is it that we overcome him? By the means of the blood of the Lamb. Because the blood of the Lamb makes us righteous. And the righteous are as bold as a lion. And because of our righteousness in Christ, we are positioned and seated together with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, the highest place of authority. So when you receive Jesus, when you're washed in his blood, when you are born again, when you are saved, amen, you are made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. That's why Romans 8:1 says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What is condemnation? It's weakness, it's fear, it's feeling unworthy. And the enemy, through religion, beats the church down to where many believers, they just think they're worms. They're going to just crawl through life, weak, poor, busted, broke, disgusted. And religion beats God's people down into a pulp through condemnation. And that spirit of condemnation is an enemy. And the antidote to the spirit of condemnation is knowing your righteousness in Christ, which has to be a revelation in your heart. That's where authority begins. When you have a revelation of who you are in Christ, in your heart, amen, your righteousness in Christ, that gives you a spiritual position of authority in your spirit, in your heart. You are already more than a conqueror because you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And so when you are established in the identity that you have in Christ, when you have a revelation of who you are as a believer, amen, as a righteous man, as a righteous woman, righteousness empowers your authority and your faith. That's why when we teach on the believer's authority, we spend a lot of time, you know, showing from the word our righteousness in Christ. Because I've met a lot of believers over the years, you know, and then it's just this Christian cliche that goes around, which is really unbiblical. Well, we're all just sinners. Amen. Saved by grace. Praise God. We're all sinners. They're still identifying as we were sinners. It's past tense. All things have passed away. Past tense. We were sinners. We are no longer sinners. If you're born again, child of God, you are no longer, you no longer have a sin identity. You should not have a sin consciousness. You should not identify as a sinner. Because what does a sinner do? Sins. If you keep saying you're a sinner, you're just going to keep sinning. You're never going to break through. You were a sinner. You've been saved by grace. Now you're the righteousness of God in Christ. So that has to be, that truth has to be established in your life and in your heart. And that's what empowers your authority. Having been cleansed and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation of that authority in your heart. So the first place you have to have authority is in your heart. That's why Revelation says, by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? Understanding that they've been cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lamb and they've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And it's just like what Jesus said, the God of this world is coming and he has nothing on me or in me. There's two ways to translate that in the Greek, on me or in me. That means he's got no access into me. So righteousness is the breastplate that protects your heart. Amen. That condemnation cannot penetrate and keep you in a place of defeat and basically where you just think you're a grasshopper. And those big giants are going to squash you like a bug. But my Bible tells me God will give us every place our feet tread upon. We will trample on snakes and scorpions. And then we have power over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. These snakes and scorpions, these represent and reflect the nature of these demon spirits. They are snakes and they're scorpions. They're lying, poisonous, ugly creatures. They want to poison you with deception. They want to poison you with offense. They want to poison you with unforgiveness. They want to poison you with lust. They want to poison you with perversion. They want to poison you with jealousy and bitterness. And they want to poison you with deception. But you have to trample upon these snakes and scorpions. So you say, in the name of Jesus, the devil is under my feet. He is defeated. He's under defeat. So when you're talking to him, don't talk to him like he's up here. Talk to him because he's down. He's below you. His Bible says his enemies have been placed under his feet. And we are the body. Jesus is the head of the church and we are the body. And the fullness of him dwells in the body. And that means the lowest part of the body, which is the feet, is where the enemy is, under the feet. So you have to understand your position of authority. Know that. You shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know your identity in Christ. And you have to be free from these false religious teachings that will keep you in a place of defeat where you're just crawling through life, and you don't realize that you have authority to attack the enemy back and take him out. I mean, just get victory over him, overcome him. They overcame him, conquered him. And I'm not just talking about just pushing him out. I'm talking about full victory. Sevenfold, full, complete victory. Amen. So you got to know in your heart. That's the first place the word has to be established, because the word is the truth. You have to know in your heart who you are in Christ, your identity. That you no longer feel condemned. You no longer feel weak. You no longer feel unworthy of God's love. These are all lies. Amen. That you no longer feel that you're not worthy to be blessed. That you no longer feel like a worm. Condemnation is like a vomit. The enemy will come and just vomit condemnation on you. And then you think you stink. And then you stay away from everybody because you believe you stink. That's condemnation. It's the smell of death. It's the smell of death. Righteousness is the smell of life. And religion, this false teaching that we're all sinners, keeps taking believers to eat from the tree of death. While they actually have access to the tree of life, which is righteousness. Amen. So your righteousness and understanding that you are righteous in Christ empowers your authority when that's established in your heart. And the second place is in your mouth, right? By the blood of the Lamb and the utterance or the word or the spoken word of their testimony, because you have to speak the word. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. This is based on you believing and speaking God's word in faith. This is based on you believing and speaking God's word in faith. It's not enough just to believe the word. You have to speak the word. That's what the spirit of faith is. So you're either going to have a spirit of fear, which is a demonic spirit, or you're going to have a spirit of faith, which is we believe God's word, therefore we speak God's word. Having the same spirit of faith. Amen. Amen. So when the enemy tries to come against you, whatever the enemy tries to bring against you, you have to raise up a defense against it by the shield of faith. Shield of faith. Amen. That's a part of the armor of God that Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6, when he says, stand, therefore, having done all, stand. For your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these principalities, powers, and these demonic forces and wicked forces. Right? Stand against them. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, not half. Put on the whole armor, the breastplate of righteousness that protects your heart against condemnation. The helmet of salvation that protects your mind against condemnation. The shield of faith by which, Bible says, you what? Quench or block or defend against the fiery darts of the enemy. What are these fiery darts? Well, he also speaks. These are words spoken, words of fear. Words of poverty and lack. Words of sickness, disease. Words of condemnation. That will be spoken against you, either through other people's mouths, through television, through the false prophets of the world system, and whatever their propaganda is, they're all spoken words. They release constantly these fiery darts, releasing diseases, releasing words, releasing fear, and then false preachers that release false words. Sometimes the words are just spoken directly to your mind, but you got to put on the helmet. But then there are these external darts that are coming at God's people. And we're dealing with this all the time. So you have to be aware of what's going on. Whatever's going on in the world, in the world system, it's not just by chance. It's not just, circumstance. They are demonic tactics. That's why Paul says we know the tactics and the strategies of the enemy. What does he do? He also speaks words. And these are these fiery darts that are coming at God's people. And if they don't put up the shield of faith to block and defend against them, what will happen? A fire dart will what? It'll go into you and it'll burn, it'll cut. It'll hurt, it can even kill. So you have to put up the shield of faith. Shield of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but if your shield is this big, it's going to be really hard. But when your shield is really big, you know, you see the, you know, come on, you know the movies. The Roman legion was almost unconquerable because they had these huge shields and they knew how to operate, lock in together and move in as one, and nobody could penetrate them and when they were all together. And they just literally stood behind these shields because they were so tall, and they just kept walking, and whatever was thrown at them, they just kept walking, and then they go with their spear or the sword of the spirit. So you've got to become, and because that's exactly what Paul is describing, is a Roman legionnaire. Because he's living in the time of the Roman Empire, so he's describing the armor of a fully decked out Roman legionnaire. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. The buckle of truth, obviously the belt where they attach all their weaponry. And then, of course, their feet shod with the gospel of peace. That means they're standing on a foundation of peace, an unshakable foundation of the rock. They're not standing on a shaky foundation. So you have to understand that these weapons we have and the shield of faith, that means you have to build your faith. And this is what I tell people all the time. You've been here long enough, you've heard me say this. You got to build your faith up in every area of your life. You can't just focus on one area. Well, I want to prosper, so I'm just going to build my faith in the area of finances. Well, you need to build your faith in the area. You need to become well-rounded. Amen. Well, I just want to walk in healing, and I want to have a healing ministry, so I'm just going to focus on healing. And then they build their faith up in the area of healing, but they're lacking in other areas. So you've got to become a well-rounded Christian. Build your faith up in every area of your life, because where the weak area is where the enemy is going to try to come in. So become a disciple. Come to our school of discipleship. Come to church here. Come to our River School of Ministry and get well-rounded, get grounded, and get built up in God's word in every area of your life. That's why we have all these different subjects that we teach that covers every single area of life. And we don't just give a bunch of dead head knowledge theology. We give people practical teachings and sound doctrine and then practical ways of how to take the word of God and apply it in their lives. So we are here to build your faith up. Amen. So that you can become a well-rounded Christian. Unfortunately, what we have is people have their little pet doctrines. People have their pet doctrines, you know. They major on the minors and they minor on the majors. They have their pet doctrines. We got people, I mean, they're prophets and they want to start churches, and that's wonderful, but everybody goes there, they get a word. The revelation gifts operate, miracles and healings operate, but then there's no discipleship. Or it's an evangelist. They want to sit under the ministry of an evangelist. Wonderful. You're going to get saved, healed, set free, delivered, but then you need teaching. Or they want to just go sit under the ministry of a teacher. And they get a lot of teaching in the word, but there's no moving of signs, wonders, many times operation of the gifts of the Spirit. So you have to understand, that's why God's given us the fivefold ministry, a well-rounded apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's why we try to bring all the different types of ministry gifts here so that people receive. It's not just about me doing the thing, or I don't want to bring people that are just like me. I want to bring others that can add gifts and anointings and value to the body of Christ so we become well-rounded believers. Hallelujah. So understand the importance of building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. How do you build up your faith? Praying in tongues. Get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Spend time praying in tongues. And then feed your spirit the word of God. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. Bigger your faith is, bigger your shield is. We are dealing with spiritual forces of wickedness in the realm of the spirit. We know that our battle is not against flesh and blood. We are dealing with spirits. We're not just dealing with emotions or thoughts or people. We're dealing with spirits. So how to deal with the attacks of the enemy? You have to take authority over them. Know who you are in Christ and speak in authority. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this attack of the enemy. You foul spirit of fear that's been coming against me, trying to get into me, into my head. I take authority over you. I'm putting up the shield of faith against you. I break this attack in the name of Jesus. I break it now in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over me. Back off right now. I cancel this assignment of the enemy against my life, against my children, against my husband, against my business, against my company. You have to speak it with authority. You gotta know. You can't just parrot me. You have to also know. You can't be like the seven sons of Sceva we saw, right? In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, they said, come out of this man to a demon. And the demon says, we know Jesus, we know Paul, who are you? Or basically what they're saying is, you don't know who you are. You're not in Christ. And we can see that. So know who you are in Christ and know your authority in your heart and then speak it with your mouth. Now, there are some common things we deal with. Man, I was asked to come and preach to Surge Youth this last Thursday. I was going to share on something and I got in there immediately. Man, it was just, I began to teach 13 to 19 year olds how to deal with spirits. How to deal with spirits. And open their eyes to the realm of the spirit where these attacks are coming against them. And many of them, they're not covered by their parents. We have youth that come to church, their parents are not even serving God. So, and they go to home and it's all hell breaking loose. They go to school, public school, all hell breaking loose. They go on social media, all hell breaking loose. And man, it was a powerful time. Breakthrough. It was amazing. But I need to help the adults as well. Because some of you, you've been allowing the enemy to attack you and push you around for way too long. It's time to put a stop to it in the name of Jesus. It's time to draw a line in the sand. It's time to say enough is enough. Enough is enough. No more, devil. You're not going to have me anymore. You're not going to have my family anymore. When you look throughout, and I wrote down some common and major ones that we deal with. Spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So fear is a spirit. Spirit of poverty. Poverty is a spirit. It's not just a mindset, but it's a spirit. Poverty is a spirit. Spirit of infirmity. Not every sickness is necessarily from a spirit of infirmity, but many times it is. And especially people that have all these different symptoms all the time or chronic diseases, it's usually a spirit of infirmity, and we have to take authority over that spirit of infirmity. Jesus walked into a synagogue. There was a woman, 18 years, bound by a spirit of infirmity. And he spoke to that woman and to that spirit. Woman, you are loosed from the spirit of infirmity. And the Bible says, straight away, the woman that was bound, bent over, stood up straight, set free instantly. But then the religious people in the synagogue were indignant with Jesus. They were angry. They were upset. Religion doesn't want people free. And that's another spirit of religion. Religion is a spirit. There is a religious spirit. It's a counterfeit spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. And over all these years of ministry, I've seen many people, they have actually thought they were hearing from the Holy Spirit, but it was a religious spirit they were hearing from. How do you know it's a religious spirit? Because what the religious spirit says does not line up with the Word of God. Amen. And brings people into bondage, condemnation. They have no joy, they have no peace. When people lose their peace, they lose their joy, they're getting religious. Amen. Amen. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Joy is freedom. Peace is freedom. So I want to see God's people free. Free from a religious spirit, free from spirit of fear, spirit of depression, spirit of infirmity, spirit of poverty. Another spirit of confusion. Where does confusion come from? Too many voices. Pastor, I don't know. I'm so confused. Yeah, because you're hearing too many voices. There are contradicting voices. There are voices that are competing with God's word, trying to confuse you. It is a spirit. It's like a dark cloud that comes over people and they can't see clearly. They're confused. They don't know which way to go. They don't know what decision to make, or they end up making the wrong decision. Spirit of confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but he is the author of peace. He's a spirit of peace. That means confusion is a spirit that comes from the enemy. Spirit of deception. Bible talks about, Paul said, in the last days especially, there'll be very perilous and dangerous times as these spirits of deception, or these deceiving spirits, will come and bring doctrines or teachings that come from demons. And many will fall from the faith. Wow, that's the problem. It doesn't say the world. It says many will fall from the faith. You have to be in the faith to fall from the faith. He's talking about Christians that will come under deception. So you have to take authority over that spirit of deception. Spirit of strife. Strife is a spirit. Strife is a spirit. Spirit of division. Division is a spirit. Sometimes that gets on people and they're just working to divide. Spirit of offense. You can watch and see spirit of offense come on people. They change all of a sudden. They change. The whole demeanor changes. Their face changes. Their words change. And now they're speaking, but you know this is not the person I knew. Something happened. What happened? They took offense. Offense came. They took it. And along with it, a spirit of offense came on them. Spirit of bondage. Bible says we have not been given the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of sonship. So that means bondage is actually a spirit. When there's bondage, addictions and certain things that people are bound by, it's a spirit, and we have to take authority over that spirit, break that spirit. So spirit of bondage. And you see that the world doesn't know how to deal with bondage. They put people on medication. We got more Christians medicated. They got medicine coming out of their ears, taking 17 pills a day because they went to some psychiatrist who doesn't know how to deal with the spirit realm. So all they can do is put the body under medication so the demon cannot fully manifest. It's trying to manifest, but he can't. Do you understand how that works? They're just dealing with the natural. But there is a spiritual thing behind it. And people will not be totally free until the spiritual thing is dealt with. The spiritual issue is dealt with. How about this? A spirit of lunacy. A lunatic spirit. There was a boy that had a lunatic spirit. The disciples couldn't cast it out. Jesus comes and the father says, help my son. The spirit takes a hold of him, throws him in the fire, throws him around on the floor. And then Jesus cast out that lunatic spirit. And the disciples are like, how come we couldn't do it? This one comes out with prayer and fasting. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, a few hours ago, you were arguing about who's going to sit on my left and who's going to sit on my right. That's why you couldn't cast it out. You're all trying to compete with each other. You're all in the flesh. So you got to fast, pray, and put the flesh under and humble yourself so you can receive the grace and the power to deal with these things. Hallelujah. Spirit of rage. People go into a spirit of rage. They literally get taken over by a spirit of rage, and in an instant, they can just in a minute, they can do things that will destroy the rest of their lives. spirit of death. I've dealt with taking authority over spirit of death with people. Spirit of death trying to come on them, or suicide trying to come on them. Spirit of divination, sorcery and witchcraft. I've prayed over a lot of people. There was people that came up for prayer. The moment I looked at them or laid hands on them, I just knew it was like a spirit of sorcery, witchcraft, like a curse was on them. I break this foul curse in the name of Jesus. One of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed was, this is back in our church in Istanbul, Turkey. It was a Wednesday night service, just a regular midweek service. And then they brought me a skinny African man, but he looked like he was 9 months pregnant. Big, huge belly like a balloon. It was the oddest thing I've ever seen in my life. It did not look normal. And he definitely was not pregnant. There was no miracle of male birth. He comes up. He's standing there. I said, "What's wrong with you?" He goes, "I was normal. I went to bed one night. I had a dream. In my dream, this beautiful woman in like this dress came and offered me this cake. She said, take and eat this cake." He said, "I took and ate this cake in my sleep. And I woke up, I was like this." And I knew immediately somebody put a witchcraft curse on him. So I took my hand, I put it on the big belly. Skinny African with a big balloon belly. Like, it looked like he was carrying triplets. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I break this witchcraft curse off of you now." And as I said it, it was almost like, literally like somebody let air out of a balloon and just went, shh. And then he goes, "Ugh." And then there was a bucket and he went into the bucket. "I'm sorry, before lunch." But somebody said, "Well, I mean, the people have to throw up or whatever." No, I'm not looking for people to throw up. But let me tell you, they are foul spirits. And how many of you walked through a dumpster that had such a foul smell, you went like, "Ugh, come on." Well, when that foul spirit, unclean spirit comes out of people, obviously there's a physical reaction. And sometimes people just, you know, go into a bucket. And I'm not looking for that. You know, I know that was a big popular thing in the 90s. You walked into a deliverance meeting and everybody was handed barf bags, you know, and then everybody had to barf. I'm not looking for people to barf into a barf bag, okay? But sometimes it happens because it's such a foul thing. And I've actually smelt the foulness of things coming out of people. It was like, oh, yeah. Because they're foul spirits. Bible calls them foul spirits. They smell foul, unclean spirits. So we have to know as believers, not only in our personal lives, how to deal with these, but also in this church, in the church. Amen. And I know many churches will not deal with this because it can get real messy. Amen. It can get real messy. You know, Jesus went to one church to minister, and at that church, there was a man naked and in chains, cutting himself, screaming at everybody, "Yeah." And then he casts the demons out, and demon says, "Let us at least go into these pigs." So all these demons went into the pigs, and the pigs ran down into the lake and drowned. Amen. That was devil Tam. And then the man is sitting there in the front row, clothed and in his right mind, finally whole and in peace. And the pastor of the church came and said, "Please leave my church." Instead of saying, "Hey, I got another 100, would you minister to them?" And instead of lining them up and said, "Oh, well, this was pretty crazy. We've never seen anything like this. It was pretty noisy. It was wild. Would you please leave?" I mean, I'm just trying to put it in the perspective of how it would be today. It is a messy business to deal with the spirit realm. And many churches won't do it because it's, you know, it's not the secret friendly thing to do. Might offend a few visitors. I guess that's why that woman was bound 18 years with a spirit of infirmity, because they didn't want to offend any visitors. And Jesus walked in and looked right past all the visitors, went straight to the woman that had the who was bound for 18 years by a spirit of infirmity. And he was like laser focused to get that woman free. She had been coming to church for 18 years. And still bound. There's nothing more tragic than that.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.